Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Jason, State Farm, I really want that personal price plan. Mr. and Mrs. Alvarez, I save my shrimp tails.
Oh.
I have a whole collection. I keep them in jars under my bed.
You don't need to get that personal. The State Farm personal price plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
She also plays piano.
Yeah.
With my feet.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or click to get a quote today.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in, family, at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we're going to be discussing healing from clergy abuse, part 2, with our special guest today from Hope of Survivors, who is Cindy Chamberlain Eastwood. December is a month for loving each other fully. Lots of holidays. And today, for example, you celebrate Kwanzaa in its fifth day, which means we are celebrating the fifth Kwanzaa principle, which is Nia, which is purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. To restore ourselves, we have to heal our past hurts, and one of these issues being discussed tonight is healing from clergy abuse, part 2. Before we begin, I want to say thanks to everyone for supporting my show, the ONE Dynasty family, for all of their support, as well as the support I received from Brother O. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my point of view. I want to take a moment to mention again to you all what my show, Breaking the Silence, is all about. It's about healing and creating a sacred space for women and men. This show is about women healing and making healthy choices after being oppressed. We are here to step outside the oppression and trauma and accept the power that is yours naturally. We are here to give each other permission to be spiritual and create our own loving and creative reality. The men that are here for the same thing. And they are also to find their perspective and fulfill their spirituality. Therefore, we're here in this time and space to understand and clarify our own identity. And when we need to turn to one another to do that, and we do that here by discussing some difficult topics. I'd like to begin with a quote by Dr. Diane Langberg. Whenever power is used in a way that wounds the vulnerable or that exploits trust, abuse has occurred. I'd like to introduce our guest today, Cindy Chamberlain Eastwood. Cindy is a journalist by trade and is working remotely as SEO content specialist for a Silicon Valley company, where she writes health and wellness blogs. Cindy joined the Hope of Survivors just about a month ago, and because they helped her during a vulnerable time. In her short tenure, she has found the survivors community is strong. Yet many don't have a voice. Not having a way to advocate for oneself or to have your personal voice taken from you is a terrifying place. Because Cindy believes in the power of words, it is her professional and personal hope to help bring healing to those members and others beyond this community in thought, action, and by using the power of words. Before we begin, Cindy, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Wonderful. Hello. Before we begin, Cindy, can you simply tell us a little bit about your organization, The Hope of Survivors, so we can have a context for our conversation today?
Absolutely. Yes. The Hope of Survivors was actually started in 2002 by Samantha and Steve Nelson, and they educate and have peer mentorship, travel and speaking for educational purposes. They host an annual Hope Healing Retreat and have lots of materials and resources on the website, including ministry for pastoral spouses and also pastors that are at risk. And so they advocate for survivors.
Wonderful. That is so needed. I just saw on the news the other day that there was an issue with the Pope that apparently in his past he allowed some people he gave some people a free pass when it came to abuse of some people within the congregation. Some clergy abuse was going on there. I know we're not speaking about Catholicism tonight, but I just thought it was noteworthy to mention that does still go on, you know? And it's
very much so.
That, now, you don't do you allow any religion into your the Hope of Survivors, or is that just for non-Catholics?
No, we allow any denomination. We are international and interdenominational. Everyone is welcome. The only qualification is that you may have been hurt somewhere along the way by someone in a leadership position.
Wonderful. That is good to know. I just wanted to make sure our listeners were aware of that. I know that's a key piece for me, is that everyone needs to be able to speak freely about these issues, no matter what perspective you're coming from as far as religion is concerned.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to just dive into our questions here. First, Cindy, if you could share with us, what is the role of a pastor?
Well, the role of a pastor really is to be a shepherd and to reflect Christ to those in his or her congregation, to lead them into spiritual matters, and really to guide them. No, it was never intended that a pastor be a superstar, or that they dominate, or that they be out of control, or that they use force, but instead for them to be a shepherd that is guiding and even encouraging. And they are to be someone that has their own house in order, and they're supposed to biblically be someone that is controlled.
Wow, that's a definition right there. So
it's a high calling. Yes,
it's a high, I was about to say, it's a higher calling. It's something that you have to really, really want to do, and you really should pay attention to the guidelines of what a pastor is and what they do.
It's also now, a position of trust, too, and it's a position where to be effective and to be even successful, you must be a person that is trustworthy.
So you're talking about responsibility there. You have to have
responsibility,
and a lot
accountability.
Of responsibility. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Very yes. much, Laura.
Yeah. Okay. Can you share with us the role of a congregation?
Well, the role of a congregation really is, I think, you know, we've built big cathedrals and we've built beautiful congregations and temples, and we've done media with congregations and every conceivable type of show. But a congregation biblically was to be almost a support group. If you look at the church in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, the church was really meeting in homes, and it was a fellowship of believers that were supporting one another in spiritual aspects and truth, and they were almost family-like. And I think that that is the biblical role of a congregation, or at least what it was intended to be.
You just said something that that struck home with me. You said it's like a family. Now, what if you come from an abusive family and then you see a congregation that's behaving badly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happens in congregations like that?
Well, you know, a congregation can withstand a lot of things, but it does have to have a culture that hits a healthy mark. It can't have a pathology that is dysfunctional. It's, you know, it's a family, and certainly families have highs and lows and tears and laughter, but there is a definite health that goes with a healthy family, a DNA that hits the mark where everyone feels heard and everyone feels respected.
Right. That is very true. I know my own personal story, there was a lot of dysfunction in the congregation that I went to when I was a child, and I went to church. There was a lot of men coming after the girls in the congregation, things like that, and it wasn't good. So there was some dysfunction, and we didn't know how to handle it at that time. So I'm hopeful today that with this conversation we can give some insights as to what can be done with the congregations and how we can combat that a little bit better.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the next question, what do pastors say when they're confronted in a situation where they're being dysfunctional or they're doing something they shouldn't be doing within the congregation?
Well, you know, this varies with different congregations, and it really depends. The research bears that it really depends on the relationship that they and a victim have with the church, that they have the history, and even how a process unfolds in the church. So when there is a indiscretion or something that has gone wrong, it is going to depend a lot on those factors, the church, the clergy, the victim, the history, and how the process comes down. What most often happens in most cases of indiscretions from pastoral staff is usually denial. There's usually a lot of denial on the part of the pastor and the congregation. And then they break down into different traits from there. We can see tendencies towards minimizing. I didn't mean that. They took it wrong. The victim took it wrong.
Wow.
Very little regard to admit what may have happened. We also see tendencies towards gaslighting. No, I didn't say that. No, it didn't mean this. No, that's not what we said. That's not what was said. You know, gaslighting, always constantly moving the terms, moving the mark, moving the definitions and changing those. And then, of course, we see manipulation, sometimes falsifying or withholding information, and an egocentric, narcissistic way that the perpetrator will look at only their feelings. And then, of course, victim blaming. And I think victim blaming is perhaps the largest one. However, with spiritual abuse from clergy, there's often spiritual or therapeutic rationalizations that are added into that mix. And so that the clergy perpetrator offender can rationalize in spiritual tones and themes their indiscretions.
I think that is awesome because, I mean, what you just said is just incredible because you really summarize what goes on. Some people do the manipulation thing very, very well. Some people do the denial thing and gaslighting. Oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought of that. I didn't realize that they would do something like that. So that is a good thing to make people more aware of so that they can be aware and not fall prey when that kind of thing happens. Hopefully they would not fall prey and be a victim of this.
But yeah, and the gaslighting, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, the gaslighting is really a form of manipulation as well, and they go together very well because with gaslighting, the terms are always being redefined, and
right.
That's a way to completely avoid responsibility when you're, you know, arguing over terms. And I always say when semantics are an issue, there's an issue.
Well said. Right now we have a track next by international internet DJ legend, Olasky.
You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the dark. It's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance, it cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the dark night.
This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we're discussing Healing from Clergy Abuse, Part 2, with our special guest, Cindy Chambers Eastwood. And we were just discussing what pastors say when they were confronted, and she just laid out some very good information for us, such as denial and gaslighting and minimizing of behaviors are some of the things that she was discussing as far as what pastors say when they're confronted. Next, I'm going to move to the next question. Why do many church members blame the victim of sexual abuse, Cindy? Hello?
And Mo. Yes, that is the question. That is the question.
Yes.
So you have someone that is extremely vulnerable and they've told their story, and then what we find is they're re-victimized often. And the research bears that re-victimization can be almost as traumatic as the first victimization. And it's very tragic. And I'm just going to list the items and then I'll unpack them. There's several reasons. One is a just world theory. Two is comfort. Three is distance. Four is denial. Five is path of least resistance. And six, lack of resources and not knowing how to handle it. And then seven is cognitive dissonance. And I'm just going to unpack those really quick. For the first one, the just world theory, if you've ever seen The Sound of Music, Maria sings a song in there, nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever would. And here, you know, she's found the love of her life and she swears that it's because she must have done something good because nothing could come from nothing. Well, that is actually just world theory in practice. It is the belief that the world is somehow fair. And the mind really wants to believe that it's fair. It wants to have a positive worldview. And if you blame a victim, that's a way to maintain that notion that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. Yet it completely overlooks the fact that perpetrators inflict pain and they do commit crimes. But our mind really wants to go to a gentle place. We want to go to bed at night believing that no one's hungry, that no one is abused, that animals are not mistreated, children are not neglected. We want to believe that. And so the term blaming is what happens when we want a just world theory. The second one is comfort. At the end of the day, Mo, we really want to believe what we want to believe. The mm-hmm. facts at the end of the day seldom don't win an argument, but it's the emotion with that. And then the third one, to distance, we want to, as humans, we have a need to put distance between ourselves and what we feel are situations that sort of have a factor of grotesqueness. So we want to believe that we are different, and that puts a distance. It's a way to dehumanize. You know, the Jews had to be dehumanized to be removed. They had to be a number. They had to be a number. In order to enslave people, they had to be three-fifths of a person. You know, we have to believe that the victim is different than us. They must be lying. They must be crazy. They must be delusional. So that's a part of being at the distance. The fourth one, denial, and belief sort of in our minds that, you know, kind of like, you know, in the business world, if the document isn't there, well, the agreement was never made. The business transaction was never done. And so the same thing in our minds, if the victim goes away, well, maybe the story will go away too. That's sort of the thought. And then the path of least resistance is another reason that victims are blamed. And that is, it can keep me from having to take action if I don't believe the victim, or if I believe the victim somehow caused this, then I don't have to take action. I can take the path of least resistance. The next one is lack of resources. Often a congregation doesn't know how to truthfully handle a crisis of clergy inappropriateness. And it's sort of a learned helplessness. They don't know honestly what to do. And the pastor is the mayor, if you will, the mayor of the establishment, if you will. And if you don't know how to get the mayor out, well, then maybe you decide the mayor is okay. And so they just sort of say, well, okay. And then in an example of this, not knowing how to deal with this, there was a very renowned study that was done in the 60s where they took two groups of people. And the first group, they inflicted pain. And it wasn't real pain. It was actually an actor. But the first group of people inflicted pain, and the second group of people inflicted pain. And then the researchers took the first group of people aside, and they said, you know, instead of inflicting pain, we're going to allow you to remove the shock. They were giving shock waves. Instead of giving shock waves, we're going to allow you to cease the shock waves and simply reward the victim, reward them for the right answers, and instead of shocking them for the wrong answers. And in the second group, they gave no option to deal with what they saw. They saw victims being shocked, but the second group was given no way to alleviate pain or reward that module of that situation that they saw. And at the end of the study, what they found was that the first group who was able to effect change and control the outcome, that group believed that the victim was a good person. Whereas the second group that had no control over the infliction of pain actually believed that the victim was a bad person. So there's something in knowing how to handle the situation or having education and resources to deal with it. But when a person feels helpless watching a victim, they will often concur that the, and then the last one is cognitive dissonance. And that basically deals with the fact that when you know something, when the mind knows something, so the mind is saying, okay, the pastor committed a sexual indiscretion, but the mind also knows that you had dinner with the pastor and his family and you liked them. The mind tries to reconcile and say, which one is correct here? So if I told you right now, Mo, that your house is flooding, you would either believe me and you would go and ask your radio program director to please stop the show and check on the flooding, or you'd run home to check on the flooding, or you'd call a neighbor, you'd do something about that flooding. You'd ask the city to shut off the water, something. But if you decide I'm lying, then you don't need to have to deal with that flooding. But your mind, because of cognitive, your mind is going to try to find peace very quickly. Your mind is looking like a teeter-totter, and it's going to pick a side really quickly because the mind does not like to be in that limbo land. So you're going to decide. And that's what happens with the victims and those in the congregation watching. They're going to have to decide very quickly, is the pastor someone that we thought was a family man we had dinner with last Sunday or Saturday, or is he someone that has committed this crime? And the mind is going to quickly try and find a way to calm that cognitive dissonance. So gestalt theory, comfort, distance, denial, path of least resistance, lack of resources, and cognitive dissonance all factor into that victim blaming.
Wow. That was insightful. Wonderful content. And right now, we have to take a little bit of a break. We have a track next by international internet DJ legend Olasky.
Letting go of everything, go dream. I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we are discussing Healing from Clergy Abuse Part 2 with our special guest, Cindy Chambers Eastwood. And she just gave a magnificent summary of why church members blame the victim of sexual abuse. Cindy, that was phenomenal. I had no idea that there were so many steps involved in why people blame the victim. I just thought people just were very short-sighted and said, oh, it's all their fault. I had no idea there was so much involved in that. So thank you for that. Next,
certainly.
If you would tell us about your ministry and how it helps people recover from trauma.
Well, our ministry does a lot of advocacy, a lot of listening, a lot of materials and resources, and a lot of education to try and stop it preemptively. And then we also side and comfort the survivors. And the survivors are very, very strong people. And so our organization is made of a lot of very strong yet hurt people.
So some of the people have been through it themselves then?
Yes. Yes,
that's,
many
that's,
of
that's good though.
Yes.
They know what to say and they know what not to say when that kind of thing happens.
Yes, we offer a training for peer representatives to mentor others through the process. We actually have a phone number where people can call if they are currently in need of our services. And there's a place also on our website that allows people to go into a portal, and also it's under a Get Help column, and they are able to log into a portal and leave an actual message for people that they, if they want to be reached. I'm going to give the phone number in that if they need to speak with someone, that would be 1-866-260-8958. Again, 866-260-8958. Or you can send me a email, cindy@thehopeofsurvivors.org, or my assistant Jackie an email, jackie@thehopeofsurvivors.org, or you can go on our website portal, hopeofsurvivors.org, and find the portal under Help Me and fill the form out. It's a small form basically saying your phone number, your name, and how you can be reached. Is it safe to reach you? Are you in need of help right now, et cetera? And someone will reach out to you. They will reach out to you immediately for that. And then we have some resources on our website, some videos and books and things of people who have experienced abuse and tips and resources for how to handle it. And the main thing is to know you're not alone and there is hope.
Right. That is awesome. That's I'm going to repeat that number. It's 1-866-260-8958. For the Hope
yes.
of Survivors helpline.
Yes.
Next. Yeah, that's very important. Thank you very much for that information. I'll keep that handy. What information
Excellent.
Would you say to the victims of clergy abuse that have left the church? I know people personally that have left churches because of the abuse that has gone on in the church. There has been sex scandals. There have been pastors sleeping with prisoners and or vice versa, and it's just not always a good thing. So what would you say to the victims of clergy abuse that have left the church?
Yeah, and there are many, Mo. There are many. I would say, first of all, take all the time you need to heal. Don't rush it. Take as long as you need to heal, because the victim, the survivor's needs are varying, and they can take years. And, you know, if a place of worship is toxic to you, then that's not your place of worship. But after that, when you're ready, when you're absolutely, your boundaries are saying, you know, it's safe now again, to remember that the church needs you. The church needs survivors. The church needs your story. It needs your advocacy. It needs your experience. It needs your experience that's interpreted now through education and the new evolved you for the congregation. And I heard a quote from a Father Mike Smith, who was speaking about the scandal in Pennsylvania at the archdiocese there. And he had this great quote. He said, "Don't leave the church when it gets tough. Lead the church when it gets tough." Did you get that? Don't lead the church, but lead the church. And so I would say, first of all, to any survivors out there, you're strong, but take care of you. Take the time to heal. Don't go anywhere that's toxic. But when you're ready, remember the church needs you. It needs your story. It needs your advocacy. It needs your experience. Lead it. Lead it.
Well said. Well said. My next question is, with respect to clergy abuse, what does the church have responsibility to the congregation? And if so, what is their responsibility?
Yeah, so THOS as an organization always takes the position that the responsibility falls on the leader. Sexual clergy abuse is really, at the end of the day, about a misuse of power and authority. And the leader in the sexual clergy abuse cases uses their power to meet their own needs rather than to minister to those in their care and entrusted in their care. So THOS takes the position that there is no possibility of meaningful consent in a professional or pastoral relationship. There's always an unequal balance of power, and that power we feel always precludes that consent. Now, when a leader falls, Mo, it's not the same as someone else falling. God has honored him or her and placed them in an elevated position of trust. And you notice even non-believers sort of hold clergy to a different standard. And when that vulnerability is exploited, the church and all of the congregation suffers. So the responsibility then, at THOS, we believe that God holds the leaders in a higher level of responsibility, and that we should as well too. And we then believe that they should step down. We believe that they should have consequences, and that forgiveness is not reconciliation, and salvation is not self-protection. And the stats bear out that a predator is not going to change until they have actual consequences. Over and over and over again, it shows. So it's actually a very compassionate thing to do, to ask them to step down, to ask them to have consequences, to ask them to have accountability. Those are actually very compassionate things to do for their own salvation.
That's a great answer. I just want to pause for a moment and mention that the great broadcasting legend and champion of all women, Barbara Walters, just passed away on our broadcast tonight.
Oh, dear.
That's surprising. I believe she was 93. She was 93 years old. So I just wanted to mention that briefly.
She was a giant.
Yes, she was.
Broadcasting.
Yes, she was. I want to thank you for your answer, and we have a track next by international internet DJ legend Nolaski.
can't hear you show me, when I can't sense you carry me, when I'm lost you will find me, when I'm weak you are mighty, you are
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Maude Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. We have caller one in queue. Caller, could you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hello, Maude Garman. This is the newest host of the network, The Honest Speaks. How are you today? I'm calling to show you some support on your show.
Thank you, Tiana. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I wanted to read just a brief thing about, you know, Barbara Walters, because, you know, she definitely was a legend. And the thing is, you know, we really at this station, you know, we have a great potential, you know, to do greatness. And I know that you yourself, you have a great potential. And I truly hope that you break my record from yesterday, you know, and you can do it, you know, reach inside yourself and you can do it, you know. So Barbara Jill Walters was an American broadcast journalist and a television personality known for her interviewing ability and popularity with the viewers. Walters appeared as a host of numerous television programs, including Today, The View, 2020, and the ABC Evening News. Walters was a working journalist from 1951 until her retirement in 2015. Walters began her career on the Today Show in the early 1960s as a writer and a segment producer of the Women's Interest Stories. Now, here's the thing. You know, you have a great show today, and I'm loving it, and I'm not afraid to say that I was not a victim, you know, of clergy abuse, but I am definitely a survivor, and I understand what it's like no matter who does it, and I'm
right.
Really not ashamed to say that. I know what goes through your mind. I know how you feel. I know how to feel, you know, you kind of, in that situation, like I spoke about validation, in that situation is the, for me, is the exception for validation, because validation brings about healing in that aspect, you know. To be believed, and when you put your trust into someone who is supposed to, you know, be, or people, a group of people even, you know, when you put your trust in a group of people that, you know, is supposed to guide you, you know, it's a very hurtful thing, and it will make you go about your life, and, you know, if you don't get healing from that, it'll make you go about your life not being able to trust other people, you know, so I definitely understand from that aspect, and I actually went to the website that the lady gave, and I really didn't realize the aspect of how do the wives feel, you know, how do the wives feel? That was even on the website, and I'm like, wow, I never really thought about that. And here's the thing, here's the crazy thing. I went to Catholic school most of my life. I am not putting down Catholic school because I love the schools I went to, but guess what? My religion teacher, it was way after high school, actually got arrested for having pornography on his computer, children, you know, child pornography on his computer.
Right.
And as a teenager, I would have never suspected anything like that. But you know, as a teenager, you're kind of oblivious to certain things. So here's the thing, people, you have to, you know, this is for everybody, including myself, you know, we have to put more trust in God and stop putting so much trust into people. That is the problem, you know, and that does not mean that the things that people went through were fair. You know, it does not mean that, you know, their experiences that, you know, basically, you know, we should help heal each other, you know. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if we go into it, you know, we can't leave our kids with every single person, you know, regardless of the person. Like, you know, I can see a person saying, oh, I don't want to leave it with my friend, but I will leave it from somebody from the church because I can trust them more. You don't know that person. You know, you don't know who that person is outside of church. You know, you don't know a lot of times, you know. You don't know what that person is. Sometimes, you know, there's evil people everywhere, and people do abuse their power in a lot of different positions, but you have to protect yourself at all angles, you know what I mean? And I'm the type of person, I don't put anything past anybody, you know. I know that things can change. There's a lot of evil forces out there that can get a hold of the nicest person. So, you know, I hope that we keep our eyes open so we can protect our children, we can protect wives, we can even protect, I'm not even, the thing we don't really touch on a lot is men go through it too. There's men that have been abused. Look at the, you know, a lot of the things that come out, you know. Now, I even talked to a person, it's funny, who told me he's about to testify against someone when he was a kid, a grown man. He's going to testify. He said it's really hard to do, you know. And I'm like, wow, like I didn't even know this man. He was not my friend or anything. He's just someone who was sitting next to me in a restaurant and just started talking to me about it, you know. So I commend you. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to read the Barbara Walters thing is because we have listeners from all over the world and who may not know who she is. So if they don't, now they know. And I want them to know who you are, Mo Garman, and know that you have the ability to break my record from yesterday. And I really hope that, and I speak it into existence. And I like the topic you're covering, and I appreciate you calling into my show yesterday. I really appreciate it. So, you know, and here's the thing. I want to know, okay, what you think. And what is your advice? And is your guest is still on the line, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I want to ask both of you a question then. What aspect can you touch on when it comes to a male who is dealing with this and there's so much pride and embarrassment, you know, because I know a lot of males don't come forth when things happen. So what can you touch on, can you explain experience, if there has any been experiences with either of you or someone who is a male who has went through this and maybe how they got through it, or if you're talking to all the listeners, what would you tell them if they're dealing with it or they have dealt with it and maybe they're holding it in for years? What advice would you give these people?
Well, thank you for that. Yes, thank you for that. And you are correct. They are survivors. Victims are survivors, and they're usually very, very strong people. In my experience, they're usually very smart people. They're usually very ethical people, very moral people. And they have the skills to cope because God has given us skills to cope. I think you're right. I think for males, it can sometimes be harder to admit if they have been abused in this way. But I think it's the same for anyone surviving this type of situation. You encourage a culture where it's okay to talk, a culture where it's safe to talk, a culture where you're rewarded for your strength and for telling the truth, for sharing what you went through in your journey. I think it's the same. And, you know, sometimes just because people are not telling you everything they can still be absorbing things. And you provide materials and resources and make them available. And oftentimes survivors don't even really understand the extent of what they've gone through. They may say things like, well, it was just kind of strange, or it was a little inappropriate. And sometimes when they talk it through to a third person, they realize, no, it was very inappropriate. It was bordering criminal behavior. And
right.
You know, so I think just creating a culture for both male and female people, both that have been victimized and are now survivors, and letting them know it's okay to talk.
Thank you for your response, Cindy. And I want to thank Tiana for calling in tonight. We have another caller in queue. Caller two, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, Mo. This is Tara Strength. How are you guys doing this evening?
Fine. How are you, Tara?
I'm doing good. I'm really enjoying the show. Your guest is outstanding. I'm glad you guys are talking about this, the darker side of these religious organizations where, you know, people are being put in charge, and hopefully they're supposed to be leading us and leading out these souls to God. And unfortunately, you know, there's abuse of power. And so this is something that happens at a, you know, at a fairly, it happens more than we believe it happens in a lot of these organizations and everything. So I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because it certainly happens. It happens a lot.
Yeah. It's a thing. It really is a thing. I was doing research for the first show, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe the information that was just coming out.
You know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I feel this is what happens when we feel we have to have a broker in between us and God or Source. You know, we believe that we don't have a direct connection. And so we think that we need somebody else in order to follow, in order to have that connection. It's unfortunate, but it definitely happens. I'm glad you guys are talking about this, and we just need to move in a way that better protects ourselves and really examine what's going on. So I just want to make those comments about that. But this is a great show. I'm glad you guys are talking about it, and your guest is outstanding.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Terrace. You are Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting and shiny Terrace Strength. We have, that's who was just on the line. We have caller three in queue next. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, how are you, Mo?
I'm fine.
Antonia back.
Hi, good. Antonia, how are you?
Oh, always glad to hear your show. I tell
Thank
you, Mo Garmin, it's wonderful. Yes, and it's wonderful to have your wonderful guest, because we need people like her and yourself to keep on reaffirming why we don't want to give up on the churches. You know, I mean, I've seen churches recently come and go here in Philadelphia. They get converted to condominiums even. So that's very specific. I know, you know, I've seen where the churches have had pastors in one particular church who I visit. They said that they don't have people to come to church anymore like they used to. But, you know,
I believe
the planning,
that.
Yes, it's amazing. I mean, where they used to, some of the larger, well, back in the day, larger churches that still had their balconies, they don't even have people up in the balconies anymore, except for one church they just coined or called the mega church, which is Enon, to my knowledge, you know, maybe. But
wow. The
average that has history don't even have balconies that are being occupied. I've heard of surprisingly scandals that came and gone, and I tried to overlook it because I said, I'm still believing God. I'm not going to let them ruin my spirit and my desire to go to church because theirs fell by the wayside, and because I've seen more good than bad that became of people who went to church and tried to do their best to stay on the straight and narrow and walk a straight line because they weren't even some guys. There aren't enough guys who go to church, but there I've seen, I can actually say I witnessed a few guys who were somewhat mature who have actually stayed on a straight and narrow, and I really admire them. And I may not have as much as they do, but I said there's nothing they could ask of me because I know they're not the type that'll do something that will sway my belief in God and the church. You know, people, they can fall by the wayside, but then a lot of them, they get themselves back on track, and they sort of, they catch themselves. They sort of just want to let you see that they're not going anywhere. Their heart is going to stay within the walls of God's house, as they say. So, you know, I heard a phone number that your guest was giving out and an email address, et cetera. I didn't get to hear the purpose of whatever she had wanted to give it out, but I will hope that one day that I can call the number if it's an issue of discussing things that occur for the better in churches. But I hope that some people realize when they go to church, they don't have to go there and stay there all day long. That's for people who have a lifestyle that would allow them to have all that time they could take up. But just going at least for an hour or two, maybe a third hour, if they have a special program that they would like to engage in, that will be very nice because there are times that I tell you, I have went in the middle of the week to find a church just to be able to make sure I stay on the straight and narrow and cleared my head about anything that I feel as though that I need to just keep going with. And it wasn't no church open on that day. I think it was a Thursday night. I always looked at least there's one church. If you have about six churches in three blocks, there's at least one church you can step your foot in and pray for yourself, pray for others, and just pray for whatever you think is important just because it's been in the back of your head maybe for a minute. And I tell you that church will keep people out of the offices of some people who feel as though that they can't survive without psychotherapy in some cases.
Right.
And that I've seen that happen with people. So, Mo, you're doing a great job and helping to keeping the life of other people confirmed with this type of format that you have. And God bless your guest because she sounds like she's a...
Thank you so much, Antonia.
Caller, you're welcome.
Caller four is next. We have a fourth caller. Can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes. This is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where it's always sunny, especially when you're on your way to the Bum Deli to get your six-pack of beer on your way to work. For your drinking, get drunk at work beer. That's what they do sometimes. What's up, Mo?
How you doing, Cliff? How are you?
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. And good evening to your host as well. You know what I'm saying? You know, I kind of got a late start of getting tapped in, but I got some good views. I heard what's going on here. But if I may, would I be able to elaborate on this on the church thing real quick? Just real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so here's the thing, right? I'm not sure if who's trying to reestablish them or do whatever they want to do with them. However, the establishment of these particular places are for the establishment of worship. You know what I'm saying? I would believe. However, you know what I mean? A lot of the times, the methodologies in which that take place in these facilities are not really dedicated to as far as learning was righteous and learning the proper paths in which a human being is prescribed to live during his lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Verily is an activity, of course. You know, people go, they get dressed up, They hugging and kissing on people. You know what I'm saying? They laughing, they dancing, they clapping, they singing, they doing all these things, right? But the whole thing is they only getting like a half of sentence worth of knowledge out of there when you're really supposed to know the whole page worth. You know what I'm saying? Instead of this,
right.
instead of just a half of a verse. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore, the most important thing is why these things, these places should be established is because they are the gatherings where people should receive the religious guidance of talk. Where if anything should be established, it should be established upon what is said in Matthew 6, you know what I'm saying, verse 5, you know what I mean? When it says this, and I'm according to what it says, this is from Jesus, and I believe that people who go to church, you know what I mean, this is the methodology in which that they follow behind Jesus. So what he says is, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, that they have received their reward in full. You know what I'm saying? So what he's telling you, that he's telling you don't do this. But verily, these are the methodologies in which that take place in over 90% of these places. So the whole thing about it is why you see less people showing up is because more people are running into and they're reading opposed to listening to the advice off of one verse or a half a verse of knowledge, where the elaboration off of one verse of knowledge is not enough knowledge. However, if you're teaching these people how to be religious, this is a book, so you're supposed to teach it like you're teaching it out of a book, like how you learned it in school. You know what I mean, not as a concert or some type of program of entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Beverly, this is something in which you should be teaching like a classroom. You see what I'm saying? Because in order to learn it correctly, you have to read it, just like what you did when you went to whatever vocational school, university that you went to, 12 grades of grade school, you know what I mean? Whatever the teacher was teaching in front of the class, they say, okay, class, open up the book. We are in chapter one, read chapter one, and at the end of the chapter, you answer the questions according to the paragraphs in which you read, not according to a half of paragraph in which I presented to the classroom. That's not teaching you anything. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where if you're going to follow a methodology and ascribe yourself to it, you might want to read the red words. Check your satellites.
Thanks for calling in, Clev. We have final thoughts from our guest, Cindy. Cindy, can you please tell us your final thoughts for this program today?
Yeah, I think that in all that we have to do better as a church. It's not okay. We also have to remember to do no harm. We don't want to re-victimize. We want to restore and be in the business of healing. And then finally, I would like to say that when Jesus taught, he always taught that we should, for those that cannot speak for themselves, Proverbs 31:8-9 in the Holy Word says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute, and speak up and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and needy. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And Isaiah 1:17 reminds us, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause. And Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord does requires you, but to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly. And then finally, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he restores those whose spirits are crushed. My hope for those and for all of our listeners is that we can work toward a better day when our churches are entirely free from every type of abuse. And I propose that we try to live in the faith and audaciousness to believe that every survivor can rest in hope, and we can dare to be optimistic, to trust that together we can bring hope and comfort to an end.
Thank you so much for that, Cindy. Now we go to Ngozi time.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful show tonight, Mo, and to your guest, Cindy Chamberlain Eastwood. God bless you both for bringing this delight, and I am so glad you had a part two of this show because it's definitely needed. So much of this is going on every single day in this country and around the world with people being abused by men and women that call themselves men and women of God, and it's so, so very sad, so sad. And my heart goes out to everyone who has suffered that type of abuse and any type of abuse, but especially within the church. And I want to take a moment to congratulate Tiana Speaks on last night for passing her internship with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship with her second all-time connection record last night. And now Tiana Speaks is a full-fledged WBNN host. Congratulations, Tiana. Wow, that's wonderful. And don't forget, everybody, listen, we only have one more day left in this year, and that's tomorrow. December 31st will be the last day in 2022. Then we're going to be into a new year. And, wow, this year has zoomed by, and I bet you by golly, wow, that 2023 is going to go by even faster. So please, people, get it together for 2023. Whatever you didn't do in 2022 that you said you were going to do and you did not do, make it a point to do it in 2023. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for 2022 WBNN Host of the Year, Dr. Chinchilla J, that's me, and News Forum on Sunday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The first day of the year, everybody, January the 1st for News Forum. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now back to our wonderful host, Mo Garman.
I just want to leave you with a few final thoughts of my own. First, we are all spiritual beings having a human experience, and as souls on this plane, this healing, this type of healing is very necessary. Most people have no clue that hidden abuse is taking place right under their noses. It is being perpetrated by individuals who would never be suspected of being abusers. The concealed nature of this harm is what leaves targets devastated. That's a quote by Shannon Thomas in Healing the Hidden Abuse. Until next time, have a great night. Goodbye.